All right. Good morning, everybody. I call to order the regularly scheduled Board of Supervisors meeting for this Tuesday, April 11, 2017, and ask if everybody please join the board as we honor America with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Well, thank you again. Good morning. It just feels to me like we're actually at the beginning of spring rather than it teasing us, and that always makes me happy, and it's a good way to start the day. First item on our agenda is public comment number one. This is an opportunity for members of the public to address topics that are on today's agenda. Anybody wishing to do so, please come right up to the microphone. And seeing no one moving the microphone, we'll move on to discussion of the Iowa Games renewal of 2017 and a presentation of a plaque. Chuck Long.
Right.
Good morning, Chuck.
Good morning, Rick.
Always like it when you come over.
It's great to be here. Thanks for having me. I have a plaque for the support you've given us in the past. We just finished our 30th year last year of summer games, so it's really stood the test of time and going strong. And we finished our 25th year of winter games over in Dubuque. So we're going into 31 and 26 this year.
Outstanding.
Yeah, really exciting. And one note, we made a bid for the National State Games of America, and we received the bid for 2021.
Okay.
And we're really excited about that. It's every odd year. This year it's in Michigan. We're going to go out there and study that. And then in 19, it's in Virginia. So we got the 2021 bid, and we're really fired up about that. I'm glad we had 2021 because it's going to take us that amount of time to get ready for it. But the great thing about it is we have our summer games over 3 weekends right now, but the state games, they want it in 1 weekend. So
wow,
we'll have 20,000 people all in 1 weekend in this whole corridor.
So what facility? I mean, that's got to open up more facilities than what you normally use.
Yeah, we've partnered with the Catch Des Moines, the Des Moines CVB, as well as the Ames CVB to get this all, to use all the venues from Des Moines all the way up to Ames. So we're fired up about that. But we have a plaque for you today.
Outstanding. Well, Chuck, question from the board. We value Iowa Games so much and have appreciated Story County's longstanding relationship with the Iowa Games. But this is Morris and Marty's first chance to have you here. Any questions about Iowa Games or our relationship with Iowa Games, how all this works?
Is it currently we're spending $5,000 a year? Is that what it is?
I think that's what it is, and I think that's a long-standing.
I think it's four.
Okay.
But I'm pretty sure it's four or five, but it's been a long-standing. We have many participants from Story County. I mean, that's a big bulk of our participants in our games and our Live Healthy Iowa programs. And we're in all 99 counties, but Story County is big.
Then turning to my fellow board members here, we had discussed this during the budget workshop, I recall, and that there's just a few groups like this that we are providing funding to. And basically that's because so far they're the only groups who have asked, correct?
Well, anybody is welcome to ask. I mean, it takes action by us, and this was an action. Has it been the whole 30 years? I don't think it's been the whole 30 years.
It's been almost. It's been a long time, yeah.
And so this is just a renewal of that action that each board independently has decided on. But, yeah, Laura, you're 100% correct. Anybody, any group can make a request of us, and then it's just up to the three of us to determine what's in the best interest of Story County.
Right. I, being a former journalist, I have covered the games. Bulletin board, you guys provided one of my most memorable covers. I'm very familiar with the games.
Good.
So I'm more concerned about our process going forward if we get more requests as the ACBD continues to reach out. We've now got beat ball coming back a couple times, etc. So I can see where this is going to be bigger, but I certainly understand how many Story County residents participate.
Well, not only that, but the economic impact. impact that the Iowa Games have traditionally had here on Story County. I think it was a wise decision then by that board, and I think it's been a wise decision by every board thereafter to offer full support, both monetarily and full-throated support of the Iowa Games.
Sure.
So, Marty, any questions?
Well, I'm going to pull back the curtain and say, go Hawks. And
oh, my God. Yes, funding's over. Sorry, Chuck.
Okay. Here's full disclosure. For full disclosure, go Hawks. That said, how much bigger are the national games than our state games? I mean, when you sit there and you're saying, I mean, what?
Well, we'll have, you know, we have about 14,000 current participants in our summer games alone. What the national games brings is out-of-state participants. So what they do is they qualify in their own state to go to nationals, and the nationals
are the host site.
At their site,
yeah,
at a different state. Well, there's 33 states that have games in this country, so they will participate in their own games that qualify for nationals, and so we'll have about 5,000 extra participants from out of state in our national games. So the economic impact will be much better.
And I have a question about that. I remember when Special Olympics brought the first national games here, and my attorney at the time was on the committee, and somehow I ended up volunteering to be a bocce ball judge.
Yeah.
Never played it my whole
life.
That's
a fun game.
But yeah, but we had to actually become certified 2 years in advance. Is that going to be kind of your ramp up? Will you have to reach out to the community to find more judges, more specialized volunteers? Are we looking at quite an effort here?
Well, the beauty of our foundation, we have over 3,000 volunteers already. So they're really ingrained in what we're doing. So we're gonna start with that. But with our partnership with now Catch Des Moines, the Des Moines CVB, they'll have a volunteer base as well for their venues down there. So we believe we'll have, from a volunteer standpoint, from a commissioner standpoint, we'll have that covered. It's just the whole organization and logistics of all the venues during that weekend to make sure we have it going smoothly.
Anything else? No. Okay, photo op.
All right.
Hey, I never thought in my wildest dreams I'd be a Hawkeye going to Ames every day.
Just living right.
I'm going to use both cameras.
Wouldn't you love to have this group of receivers that Iowa State's got?
Oh, I know. They're good.
All right. Well, let's hang out, Dave, so some people can get it out.
All right.
Yep. Great.
Thanks.
Okay.
Thanks. And I'll retweet. Nice to see you.
Thanks.
Nice to meet you. Here's the.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thanks, Rick.
That's it. See you, man.
Thank you, everybody. Have a good day.
All right. Next, we get, this is a great night, we get Boys and Girls Club. Erica.
Good morning, Erica.
Good morning.
Hi, Erica.
Hi. How are you all this morning?
We are doing great.
Good. Thanks for having us here again this year to do an annual report. Things have changed, obviously, since our last report, so happy congratulations and welcome to the new board members. I sent you an infographic, trying to make it fun and colorful with some pictures as well as some data. So you can take a look at what's been happening at the club in this last year. I think that, once again, the Boys and Girls Club of Story County has experienced a year of tremendous growth. The two primary areas have been in attendance, as well as in then community outreach as far as how many kids we've served beyond just our membership. So this last year, we had approximately 542 members. But with the other outreach programs that we're partnering with United Way of Story County, YSS, Volunteer Center of Story County, in total we serve 1,400 youth within the county in 2016. So we're very excited to be working with different people and to be able to collectively make a broader impact on the youth in our community. From an attendance standpoint, last summer we averaged 148 kids per day. To put it in perspective, two summers ago, so 2014, we averaged 99 kids per day. So we're up 50% in 2 years. Our building capacity, and I would like to clarify, this isn't fire capacity, but our functional capacity, ideally, is 141. And so we are dealing with a significant amount of growth. Last summer, even with that number, we still turned away at least 44 kids. We stopped taking names after 44, and so because we knew we wouldn't be able to serve them. This current school year, we have now stopped taking enrollment because now during this school year, 2016-2017, we have begun to hit our capacity. And so obviously to maintain safety and to provide the best programs, we've had to say no. So I would say it's a great problem to have, but it is absolutely a concern that we are starting to look at having to turn children away from the life-changing programs that we're able to offer. So I just want to put that bug in your ear to let you know that this is some reality. Now, my board is very aware of it and we're actively looking for some alternatives. And so coming down the pipelines, we're in discussion with a couple of different entities about potential shared use agreements so that we can broaden our reach and our service. And so we're in dialogues with Harvest Vineyard Church, with the Healthy Life Center opportunity in Ames, as well as with the Ames Middle School. And so nothing is fixed on any of those, but those are some dialogues that we're starting to have to see if we might be able to continue to broaden our service package. With that in mind, we would hang on to our current club facility as long as needed, and hopefully turn it into a fantastic team site. So those are some of the things that we've looked at for this last year. You'll see on your infographic, I have some details on our National Youth Outcomes Survey. That's an annual survey that we do with our kids. It's youth perception on a variety of issues, and then it can be compared to national and regional data from other clubs across the nation. Last year, we only surveyed 42 members, and we found that was not, it wasn't a broad enough base. And so this year our target was to obviously increase that, and right now Friday is the deadline, so they're still doing surveys this week, but we were at 98 kids. So we've over doubled how many kids we've surveyed, so this year we should be able to get, a much better perspective to give us that feedback from the kids. With that in mind, part of our strategic plan for 2020 is to increase the optimal club experience to 55% over 38%. And so the national average is 37%. So we're right on track with the national average for that optimal club experience. That means that it's just, you know, fantastic. And what the research shows is that the kids who are having that optimal experience are less likely to skip school, so they have a higher graduation rate, less likely to engage in high-risk behaviors, and in general have a better trajectory than for the success in their life. And so we want to focus on building that positive, even better experience for the youth so that then it increases their likelihood of success down the line.
You want kids that want to be there, not feel like they have to be.
Correct.
Anywhere.
Exactly. A couple fun program highlights. This last year we initiated a Taekwondo club. So we have two black belts from the community who are teaching Taekwondo there at the club. Completely, they're volunteers, which is fantastic. They've been doing that a little over a year. And just this last weekend, they went up to Brookings, South Dakota to compete in their first regional competition. And one of our members got first place in his division. And so our 10-year-old Rain, he got first place for his yellow belt. And if you watch our Facebook page, you'll see those pictures of him with his giant trophy about as big as he is, you know. And so we're really pleased to be able to offer these life-changing opportunities at no more than the membership cost, which is $47 for the year. So obviously, we've also expanded further into Story County, and so we have our Nevada Club program, which I want to talk with you briefly about also. So this is now the second full school year that we've had the program. We continue to be at the Nevada Middle School, and they have generously hosted us once again. The challenges that we've run into is that youth aren't signing up, in part because it's at school. And the space that we have is a small classroom. And so we would, for that program to really be given the opportunity to serve more kids, we need to find another location. We are in dialogue with another entity here in Nevada, which would allow us then to be able to offer it more days a week, and open it up beyond just that middle school age if we so choose, if that is what we feel it would be the best for the kids. And so we're excited about that potential opportunity coming down the pipelines as well, because we really feel that we want to be able to give this program the best chance possible. And the middle school is a great way to kind of get our foot in the door and start to get the word out. But to really be able to serve the kids here in this community, we're going to need to be able to expand the space. So, and financially, the last two fiscal years, we have ended in the black, and we're on track to do that again this year. So we're excited. So we'll be doing more financing. So,
that's for sure.
Yep. We also have 5 months' worth of programming in savings, so of operational costs in savings, so that, you know, not another dollar came in. But we know that that's not the case. We have a lot of funding that's still coming in this year. So yeah.
Okay. Questions for Eric? Go ahead, Laura.
Going back to the 44 on the waiting list, yes, and your capacity, that you hit capacity plus, yep, okay, how do you decide to screen? Is it first come, first serve?
Yes, it is a first come, first serve basis. So right now we are doing we're doing enrollment for our summer program right now, and we've opened it up first to current club members, so those who are already enrolled for the school year or who were enrolled last summer, so they can sign up right now. And then next week we will open it up to new members or for anybody else who hasn't gotten their applications in yet. But we won't know until probably closer to June what our actual membership numbers will look like. And we won't know until we open the doors what the attendance numbers will look like. And that's just how it's a drop-in program, and that's part of what makes us who we are. So what we've seen then, just to kind of highlight a little bit, those two summer numbers that I was sharing with you on the attendance, both summers we had about 300 kids enrolled. What's happening now is the attendance is increasing. So to balance that out, we're going to have to decrease membership so we can maintain a safe ratio and safe attendance. And so I'm kind of concerned about that, but ultimately to give them the best possible experience, we have to maintain a cap on those numbers. So,
thank you.
Martin. Another thing I know, spent part of the afternoon here, Wednesday of last week,
mm-hmm,
going around Nevada, to say that she has a space in the schools. It's modest at best, and ill serves your population. And let's see if we can't pull something together here in the Nevada community, because I expect what is holding your program you've already addressed back is the fact that it's a non-school site. And if we can get you something there, I have a pretty firm confirmation that the Nevada schools will work with you on a transportation basis.
Excellent.
To get your kids from school to your future site, wherever that might be. It is an organization, and it is bursting out at the seams. Ames, we would like to think that in a year's time, you'll be telling us the same story here.
That'd be great.
Okay, Eric, thank you.
Thank you very much. Have a good day.
You too. Next item is consideration of minutes from April 4th.
I have an area of correction.
Okay.
Let's, on the second page, it has to do with the discussion on the master plan presentation for the master matrix.
Okay.
And I would like to say what I thought happened versus, but, you know, and then being careful with the tape. But first of all, Ethan Anderson has requested the input from the AG's office, not me.
Okay.
Second of all, ISAC does not recommend an ordinance per the letter. Right? And third, Sanders suggested, and Olson and Chitty concurred, that if we have not heard back from the AG's office by June 1, the county will schedule a staff update and supervisor discussion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's what happened. So what I've got here is Olson reported that the county attorney has requested input from the attorney general's office.
And that would be Ethan Anderson.
Right. I'll make it more generic than that.
Okay.
Iowa State Association of Counties recommends against the county adopting an ordinance.
Correct.
I asked for June 1st or once we receive the AG's
yes.
opinion, whichever comes first.
Whichever comes first.
Shelley, can you make those corrections on the minutes? And if we move to adopt minutes, it will be with those corrections in our minutes. Anything else?
Is that a motion?
That is a motion.
And I would second that.
We have a motion to adopt amended minutes. Any further discussion on those amended minutes?
None.
Olson?
Aye.
Sheedy?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. Amended minutes pass. Personnel actions as listed, Board.
I would move that we accept them as listed.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Olson?
Aye.
Sheedy?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. Consent agenda, Board. I've got two items that I want us to pull and hold for Darren, for us to make a decision during Darren's presentation. And that is item number 6 and item number 7 on consent agenda. That's consideration of the FY18 Iowa Department of Transportation budget and the 5-year road plan. So normal practice of the Board of Supervisors has been that we have the full discussion. We ask Darren to make modifications and it comes back to us on consent agenda as it did here. But with us being a new board, I think it's important that we have the opportunity to discuss it before we act on it. So I'm requesting that we move consent agenda with at least those two items pulled to be held for the county engineer's reporting time.
I would move approval of the consent agenda with the exception of items number 5 and 6.
6 and 7.
6 and 7. Okay. Items number 6 and 7, which we will discuss separately.
I would second that.
Motion to second. Olson.
Aye.
Sheedy.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Consent agenda with the noted changes passed. We're public hearing items now, and that's first consideration of Ordinance 261. Jerry Moore.
Morning, Jerry.
Hi, morning.
As you mentioned, it's ordinance number 261. It's case number REZ04-17. The applicants are Jennifer and Joshua Thomason. They live at 20046 270th Street in Hubbard. It's a rezoning request to change the zoning from the A2 Agribusiness District and Agricultural District to the Commercial Light Industrial District. There is no change to the C2C Cornerstone to Capstone plan map. The designation for that is urban expansion area, and I'll go through what that is in a second here. The property is 4.3 acres. It's located at 70197 130th Street, just west of the city of Zering. They're requesting to use this property for fuel sales, convenience store, restaurant, Jeep sales, part sales. They want to assist campers at the Dakins Lake with minor repairs. Most of that stuff will take place at the lake. And then they want to sell beef, chicken, and pork, which will already be processed, packaged, to sell at their restaurant. Where the existing building is, that's zoned A2 Agribusiness District. The balance of the land is A2 or A1 District. History, the property was rezoned in 1983. From A1 to A2 for office, farm store, and petroleum sales. This shows you the location. Again, we're north and west of the city of Zering. We're in Lincoln Township. Zooming in, this is the 2013 aerial. Subject properties outlined for you. Again, it's a 4-acre parcel. The land use to the northwest and south is agricultural for the most part. There is a unused football field at the Colonesco school system used for a period of time is currently unused. The land use to the northwest at the intersection, the northwest portion is an agricultural equipment repair business. The city of Zering corporate limits is just to the south and east. In fact, they share a Their southeast corner of their boundary is the northwest corporate limit boundary. The land use, the closest parcel is agricultural in nature. There is a wooded portion in the western part of it. The closest business is about 300 feet away inside the city. It's an agricultural trucking business. The business that I mentioned to the west at the northwest corner of that intersection is about 800 feet away. This is our zoning map. Again, it's split zoned A2 agribusiness, which is green. It includes the area surrounding the building. The land to the east, which is primarily grass land, is A1 district. The land to the northwest and south is A1 agricultural district. To the north and west, again, the northeast parcel at the intersection of Highway 65 and 130th Street, and the northwest parcel is currently zoned commercial light industrial district. This is the district that they are seeking. And then inside the city, it's light industrial district. This parcel is actually split zoned. The north portion is light industrial. The south portion is residential single family. This light industrial district designation carries eastward to just west of the north-south street there. I think it's North Elm. And then the balance of the land is zoned residential single family. Statement of intent, A2 agribusiness. Again, it's primarily intended for agricultural type uses. It's to be surrounded by A1 district land use. A1 district is primarily established for row crops, livestock production, and then there's the need for protection from encroachment of urban land uses. This is a map from the C2C plan. The designation is urban expansion area. It's the blue area that you see. For the most part, these are areas where cities are anticipating growth. It's where they would anticipate annexation at some point in the future, as well as extending infrastructure and city services. This particular property, there is interest by the city to annex this property. They have not started that process, but they are strongly considering doing that.
Jerry, may I just ask, the abandoned football field, that's the green there, but that's not in the city limits?
No, it's in the unincorporated area.
And it almost looks like it's an island if there weren't the annexation.
That's something that would have to
be
worked out.
It's a piece of property that the Colonesco School District is in the final phase of returning to the family who came codicil for the fact that the family that owns the farm to the west that surrounds it gave it on a conditional basis to the school district to use, and at the point they renounce use, it returns to the family. So that's not reflected in the map, but that will happen in the next month or so.
But it still will remain. It still looks like if in fact the blue areas are annexed and this family does not allow that to be annexed, it would create an island, correct?
Right, absolutely. But the family in question, Morris, owns the rest of what you see in blue.
You said to the west.
Well, I didn't mean to the west. I'm sorry, I meant to the east. But the blue that you're looking at is the family's. It was A1, and in the early 60s, it was given to be created. It was farm ground. It was created to what it is today. The school district has renounced use of it. The family's asked it to be returned to them per their agreement from 50 years ago.
So if Zeering does annex across the road, of course, it's their intent to annex everything you see there, including what's not blue.
Okay.
But that's moving in, so it's neither here nor there.
So this is a little closer view of the subject property. There's an existing building there that was built in 1983.
And what was it used for in 1983 when it was built?
Well, it was supposed to be used for office and a business for bulk fuel sales for the agricultural community. That's what the intended use was. And then that use changed to things such as restaurant, convenience store, similar to what's being requested.
So it was used for years in a similar way to what's now being requested?
Correct.
Okay.
Not in conformance with the A2.
Correct.
So there are existing gas pumps located on the south side of the building and the southwest part of the building. That area is paved. There are two existing accesses extending to the property off of 130th, and then there's a drive that extends around the building, which is gravel. The northwest portion is heavily wooded, and as I mentioned, the east side of the building is primarily grassland. From a grade standpoint, the grade is higher on the north portion, and it falls to the south and to the southeast to this low point to the southeast corner of the property.
Would that be significant as far as the grade being higher behind the building? But is a notable grade difference that could cause problems with flooding or water runoff?
Yes, outside the 100-year floodplain.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, so, Loris, the encouraging thing about this piece of property is, so Dakin's Lake is to the northeast of this, and water runoff from this site goes nowhere close to Dakin's Lake.
So standards of approval, these are the things that the Board of Supervisors are supposed to consider. The first thing is its conformance to the C2C plan. Urban expansion area, the principles in there identify language about the future growth areas of the city. It talks about annexation should be encouraged where applicable. It talks about requiring city standards for improvements. For the most part, there's not going to be a lot of changes to this property. They're not planning to add any new buildings. They're not planning to do any additions. No grading, per se. They are planning to add some gravel, but no major site improvement. The county is to work with cities in this designated area to avoid overlapping of regulations and inconsistencies among different land use strategies. And then, of course, an eye toward protecting agricultural activities. So again, these are from the principles from the C2C plan. The city's future land use plan and goals should be considered. We've had discussions with the city officials about this. Annexation should be encouraged if it's applicable. Again, they are considering annexation. We are to coordinate our reviews with the city, which we did. They could require additional language along with this request. They have not indicated an interest to do that. There's a statement in there about taking access off of existing paved roads, which 130th Street is, and then two, mitigate and manage stormwater runoff and soil erosion. So, again, we did have contact communication with the city. Again, there's discussion about annexation. Nothing has been started yet to this point. And then, two, we communicated the principles with regard to the C2C plan. Additional information with the C2C plan adoption, through that process, we took or held several open house sessions. We received a lot of input through that process, and some of that input that we received we captured, provided in this staff report that we thought that was applicable to this request. There were comments that were duplicated many times, but some of those comments were, discussions about lack of services in small communities, that growth shouldn't be the only goal, that we should be looking to improving existing facilities, comments about small towns having little to no business and less tax base, the need to attract new businesses. There's a comment made about Zering Park, I think Dakin's Lake, and the value of camping and recreational areas. Public input process. Communities have a good idea of where they want to go. Highway 65 was identified as being a strong point as well. There were some questions that we pulled regarding quality of life, expanding retail shopping options. 42% weighed in on that of 643 citizens that responded. Question about places to shop or dining. It was kind of mixed. 43% thought that what is out there is adequate. 41% said it was lacking, and 531 citizens responded to that. The second thing to consider is the statement of intent. Commercial light industrial district does permit retail, commercial services, wholesale, warehousing, the list goes on. It also talks about level of obnoxious characteristics, which really kind of gets to nuisance factors. Light industrial or commercial light industrial is the more less intensive than the heavy industrial. So it gets to the level of concerns with regard to like dust, light, noise, that type of thing. So we think this request, the proposed land use, meets the intent of the commercial light industrial district. Again, much of the activity is going to take place inside the building, except for the dispensing of fuel, which they're planning to do like a 24/7 where you pay at the pump. So that will be occurring. The vehicle sales will occur in the southwest portion of the property. They're not planning on any major improvements or grading. Traffic will increase to, from the current level. But as we reported in the staff report, there was a decrease over that eight-year period, so this will offset that to some degree. There are two existing accesses to the property. The improvements to 130th Street will help. That's going to be the road's going to be paved from the western corporate limits of Zering all the way out to the Story-Marshall County border, so that'll help for access. The third thing to consider is the compatibility with surrounding land use. Again, for the most part, it's agricultural to the northwest and south. The closest business that's in the county is 800 feet away at the northwest corner of the intersection. Inside the city, it's about 300 feet to the east.
But the closest parcel within the city is zoned commercial and light industrial.
It's zoned light industrial, the north portion, the south portion.
Right, but the portion that's closest to this property is, that portion is zoned commercial and light industrial. What's south of that is still zoned residential.
You're talking about to the east?
I'm talking about within zero.
Southeast of this property.
Yeah.
If you had that split property, light industrial, the top side of it was, light commercial. All right.
Yep. Light industrial.
Light industrial.
And then to the south, residential, single family.
Residential, right.
Yep. So there are no identified environmental resources on our GIS layer. Another thing is properties that are zoned A1, A2, an ordinance that says if it receives a high land evaluation site assessment, then it shouldn't be rezoned. We ran the numbers. They're actually under the threshold. We did hold a conceptual review meeting on February 16. After that review session, they submitted the application. We had various comments, provided history of the site, identified specific site requirements, asked about whether or not there were other landowners interested in joining the petition, provided a great deal of background about the C2C plan and the city's role with that. Asked information about the closest gas station, restaurant, convenience store. Asked about proposed traffic counts. I don't know if you saw, and I don't know that I brought it up, but there was an existing LP tank service. They changed that out to natural gas, so those tanks are going away. Access locations have been reviewed by the engineering department. There was a comment made about making sure parking takes place on site. Initially, there was a submittal for a proposed course for Jeeps. Through the review process, after receiving comments from staff at the county, the applicants decided to pull that request. That was, again, a conditional use permit and a variance request because we have a 20-acre site requirement. So through our review, they decided to pull that, and we refunded their money for that conditional use permit and variance application. So that's something that may resurrect itself in the future. Environmental health, I was going to say this represents the latest. The department is okay with them operating. The department's going to work out a written agreement whereby they are going to be required to receive city sewer, which is being considered by the city, and or make improvements to the existing septic system. And that's going to be monitored by the environmental health department.
Okay.
Before you go on, yep. A question.
Where's the water? Is it well water?
City water.
Thank you.
Yep. I've got something for that. General public input, March 17, April 7, we sent notices to all property owners within a quarter mile. We sent the notice to the city of Zeering. We received 37 letters from persons inside the city and persons outside the city in support of this request. On March 14th, we also received a letter from the mayor and the city council in support of this request. Planning staff, a board of supervisor member, and the applicant and a member from the city council met on the 17th of March to go over the request. We received emails on April 2 and April 10 from citizens inside the city who indicated they were in support of the request. We also received a phone call from somebody who was asking questions about it. We did prepare publications that were published March 23 and March 30. The three publications established by the Board of Supervisors. The board did approve resolution April 4, setting the hearing for today. And on the 5th, the Story County Planning and Zoning Commission did approve unanimously 6-0 with conditions to approve the item. And I'll go through those conditions. Utilities and services for City of Zeering Water. They do have Alliant Energy, Electric, and Gas. It would be Story County Sheriff, Zeering Fire Department, Story County Ambulance Service, and the property is not located in the drainage district. Points to consider in reviewing the application. Again, it was previously a commercial agricultural business. This is supported by the city's mayor and city council. The impact will be minimal. Again, there's not a lot of changes that are proposed. They're planning on using the existing building, the existing site. Proximity is good, very close to the city, close to the intersection of 65. They're likely going to get some draw from that, as well as Dakin's Lake to the north and east. And we think the overlay project for the summer is going to be a benefit to this business. So that brings us to the recommendation from the Planning and Zoning Commission, again, which was to recommend a rezone from the A2 agribusiness A1 agricultural district to the commercial light industrial district with conditions, and to support alternative two. Conditions are really, the first three are from planning and development staff, to mark out, lay out the parking area. And we've had discussions with the applicants about this. They need to make sure that they have an ADA handicap accessible parking space with a sign, which they've got the sign already. Meet the intent of the stormwater management manual and SUDIS erosion control. Again, there's no grading, no building improvements, so it's very minimal. If you review their site plan sketch, they show a couple of trees. We have a requirement that if there's more than 10 parking spaces, the first five is a tree requirement. So they're showing like two trees. We're offering to give them some time to do that, 60 days, and then, of course, the environmental health binding agreement. So that leads us to alternative two, which is the Story County Board of Supervisors recommends approval of the requested zoning amendment with the conditions as put forth in REZ04-17 and Ordinance 261, and I'd be happy to answer your questions.
Question for Jerry before we open the public hearing.
John, I think your staff is... There's, you know, when it comes to us, at this point, it's virtually a finished product, but what his staff and he did to get it to this point requires me to say thank you.
I don't know that it's a question. I have comments. I'll wait until after the public hearing.
Okay. Let's see. I have a comment that I'll make before the public hearing. So it seems to me that we're talking about a property that was utilized in a very similar manner to what we're talking about utilizing it now, even though it was out of compliance for years and years, a place that was heavily supported by the area. Somebody coming in not really wanting to change what's there, just start to use it again as it was used before, in full support of all surrounding neighbors and community, including the person who owns the closest gas station convenience store that would be a competitor of this. Jerry, I appreciate your work. There's nothing easy about things like this, but sometimes we get these slam dunks that in my view anyway are pretty easy And I appreciate the diligence that you and your staff took to get us to this point. Anything you want to mention before we go to public hearing? All right, in that case, I'll open the public hearing and ask if there is anyone that would like to address Ordinance 261. All right, seeing no one moving to the microphone, we'll close the public hearing. I'll turn to the board for comments, questions, and potential action. Loris.
I have, my concerns are related to the estimation of the number of customers per day, because if you actually do the math, it's 145 customers per day. And then I go back to the environmental health, as we settled on the agreement here, that's a lot of people to use a septic system that was designed in the past to only accommodate 20 to 30 people. So I'm concerned about the septic system based on the fact that we don't know when it will be annexed into Zirin. And I'm encouraged to hear that there's no runoff going near Dakin's Lake and that there doesn't seem to be any opposition around that. Was there any discussion about escrowing some money from the purchasers in the event that the septic did in fact fail before the city was ready to take it in?
I'm not aware if that took place or not. But part of this is the... with regard to the use of the restaurant, their numbers to me seem pretty low, and I think, you know, hopefully it will be a lot higher than what they're projecting. You know, they're talking about 12 people for lunch, 8 carryouts, 12 for dinner.
But I added in all the people who are going to stop for gas. Maybe it's
right,
just
and that's probably, yeah.
The question I would ask is, yeah. What percentage of the people are going to actually use any of the restroom facilities or whatever? So we're fortunate that we got somebody like Margaret James in environmental health, and Margaret has proven herself through the years that if she's going to err, she's going to err on the side of caution and the side of making sure that we go the extra mile. It looks to me like one of the conditions that we're talking about does exactly that.
Right. Yes, she will be monitoring this. Right. Throughout this process.
Then my second concern goes back to how this all started and in the fact that misinformation was provided to the couple, therefore leading them to think that maybe they were all set to go when it came to zoning. Okay, let me finish here, okay. So my concern then, tying it back to Margaret monitoring or whatever, Jerry, do you feel comfortable and does Margaret feel comfortable that we're now all on the same page about what has to be done, what laws have to be researched, what laws have to be obeyed, okay, for this business to go forward and operate as a good citizen of the community and the county?
Yeah, I think we're in a good situation. You know, the comment about, you know, how this came about, I think they learned a lot from, you know, the entity selling the property. And again, I think part of it is, you know, this is what it was, so why can't we do it? And
right. So yeah, I want you to clarify, Morris, if you would. So you said misinformation. What is that misinformation, and where do you think it came from?
I don't know. I was trying to be more delicate.
Yeah.
Sometimes I get myself into trouble.
I can tell you how we heard about it.
Yeah, I know.
It was through
about
a liquor license.
It's back to the couple back there. Congratulations for starting a business. I'm so sorry. Okay. I did an assumption right away. Excuse me. My concern is that they started a business without doing their research. Okay? And so my concern is if we have problems with the septic, they may not put as much importance on adhering to it. I just question anybody who goes into a process of something like starting a business on this and relies
rather than verifying the zoning, verifying what they're going to need to open a business. And so I am concerned that if down the road they've opened the business, there's a septic problem, and all of a sudden then they don't cooperate with us. That's as honest as I can get
And I appreciate that concern, so I'll give you my vantage point. I haven't met with the owner as many times as Marty has, and Jerry, I know, you know, you guys are on speed dial with each other, I know, but let me give you my impression. First of all, I think it's completely reasonable for somebody to look at basically the continuation of a business that had existed there. Even though it hadn't been there in a few years, it had existed there, and you're basically looking at doing the same thing. And it was through her due diligence that she found these issues, and they were highly concerning to her because she had already put together the business plan. She had already done something. I have found her to be an exemplary citizen, wanting to do things the right way, frustrated that she wasn't able to do things exactly the right way all the way through. And, in fact, I haven't seen her take any shortcuts to the point that this has probably taken a lot longer we had a lot of different things we had to go through, and the frustration from some in the community up there, I think justifiable frustration, is that this process has taken so long to get through. But I think it's a credit to her that she truly has tried to dot all the I's and cross all the T's. So I just see that a little differently. We have the same information, we just come to a different conclusion from those facts. Marty, you've spent more time with her.
No, it's been a real civics lesson for both, I believe, the city of Zeering and this couple in particular, in that I get their story is the fact that this is just a business that they had seen operate in their midst for a number of years, successfully so, and then close. And you have a couple that sees the potential upside of having a completely redone facility in Dakins, and thinking like proximity is everything, because if you've been here long enough, you realize Twin Anchors what it was years ago. That was a quiet little startup business that morphed into a golf course and the camping that it is today, and that maybe that might be the business model they're pursuing. Margaret's had been at the table through the entirety of this conversation in regards to the septic system, and that the fact that the city is engaged on a to the point that they've had discussions before themselves to believe that both not only hooking up this facility is probably the right thing, they should be considering annexation of this property and making it part of the city of Zeering is all the likelihood in the near term.
There's zero doubt in my mind that this potential business would not be coming without Dakins Lake. But the second thing to point out is 2 years ago, Zeering, Iowa, for a short time, had no place that offered any kind of retail food. The convenience store had closed down. It has since reopened. This is, in my mind, a really positive step for all of Northeast Story County.
And in no way did I ever say it wasn't a positive step. I'm just concerned. On a broader scale, I think I'm concerned who else is out there doing business that's not zoned correctly.
The zoning world, that's not that uncommon.
I know.
I think it's a reasonable.
You hear about it, then you have to adjust and move forward.
And Marsh, you're doing what you do. You're bringing critical thinking to everything that we do, and that's a good thing. Mm-hmm. Now we just got to figure out how we operate within that critical thinking.
Right.
So our choices before us, we can either take the recommendation of the Planning and Zoning Commission, which I think was a 6-0 recommendation, to adopt this with conditions. You spelled out those four conditions that are there. And then if we decide to do that, we have two options within that. We can either adopt this on first reading and set a second reading, or we can adopt this and waive the final two readings. Those are the choices before us.
I would move that we recommend approval of the requested zoning amendment with the considerations that's put forth. So my actual motion, because this is an ordinance, I'm going to read this now, is the approval of the first consideration of Ordinance 261, amending certain boundaries of the official zoning map of Story County, Iowa, Thomason rezoning with alternate 2. And set second consideration for March.
Do you want to do that?
Do you want to do this, or do you just want to be done with it?
I guess we had, Rachel spoke to it right before you spoke, that I believe that we have the ability to do this in one fell swoop with a waiving of second and third reading.
I know they want to get started.
And just to be clear, zero concerns. In the whole time you've been through this, you haven't had anybody express a concern about where this is at.
Yeah, it's been very positive. We just received the one phone call that from a person who does not live in this area, who owns property in this area, that had questions about it.
I am torn.
Would you be more comfortable if I turned to Marty to see about a motion?
No, I don't. But you're asking me. What you guys are saying is that if I make, I believe I'm hearing, if I go ahead and set a second reading, I'm going to fail for lack of a second. But I'm going to make it anyway. I'll set the second reading for April 21st.
Okay. Do we have a second?
18th.
Yeah, 18th.
Oh, 18th. Sorry,
11th. 18th. So for next week's meeting, so it's option number two, with conditions, setting a second reading for next week, which is the 18th.
Correct.
Thank you, Laura. Do I have a second on that?
No.
Okay, it dies for lack of a second. So do we have any further motions?
I would move approval of the first consideration of Ordinance 261, amending certain boundaries of the official zoning map of Story County, the town's rezoning with the alternate two, and I would waive the second and third readings.
All right, so now we have a motion adopting the ordinance with conditions, waiving the second and third reading. Do I have a second on that?
No.
And I'll second that. So we have a motion and a second. Further discussion.
I think that, yes, Jerry and his staff have worked very hard on this. I know that both of you have been very heavily lobbied to go forward with this. I am taking and certainly my trust in all of you and Margaret, but I think that this is appropriate for a second reading. So I really am concerned that somebody got this far into the purchase of a business without even figuring out what the zoning was and what needed to be done. And I feel that in itself, a week's wait will further emphasize to future people that there's an expectation on our part that they follow the zoning laws and that there's a process involved. So you put me in a position where to vote no based upon what I truly believe we need to do to have them understand that that everything's not a special condition after the fact to fix. But I'm not opposed to the project.
Absolutely. And I think it's crystal clear, Laura, that you're not opposed to the project, that you're doing, again, what you do. You're standing on your principles.
That's right.
You're following process. I don't want you to sit there and so clearly, Marty and I see this differently. I do take a little exception to this idea that Marty and I have been lobbied or that in some way is affecting this. I'll tell you what I've done is I did my due diligence. I went up and I walked the property and I've talked to the people involved and I've talked to the people of Zeering. And it's not 1 week more. It's the 2.5-3 months that we spent in this process. She was ready to go when, Jerry?
It was at least a month and a half.
Yeah, I mean, it was first of the year. And so we have, in fact, gone through our process. We are, in fact, at the end. And the only thing we'd be doing now is saying, yeah, we're at the end, but we're going to wait another week just because we're going to wait another week. And that's the only place that you and I disagree in all this. But I think what you underscored, however you come down on this, I think it's important that everybody understand that you're not expressing that you don't support this program, that you don't support Zeering. You're suggesting that you want us to follow a process, and this is part of the process.
Especially, and to weave this in, especially since 2 weeks ago, we ended up with an application in front of us from the city of Zeering that didn't, for a program they didn't qualify for. Okay, so yes, I am concerned about process and following. About hey, all of a sudden, you know, we'll just do it our way.
And you know what? But 2 weeks ago, when you raised your concerns, Marty and I were right there with you. I think it's completely reasonable, again, that you can raise your concerns here and that there's a reasonable position for Marty and I to take that just comes down a little differently than you, and we end up where we end up. Okay? Any further discussion before we vote? Sanders, aye. Olson.
I will support the project.
Okay. So 3-0 support. We waited first and second read. Jerry, you did a great job on this. Please congratulate the owner for us and tell her we're counting on her to do everything the right, continue to do everything the right way. All right. Good job. Let's see here. That was public hearing. So now we're to additional items. Consideration of a new special Class C liquor license for JJ Station. Shelly, tell us why this is here for us rather than on consent.
This has to be approved for the rezoning first, before I could issue a liquor license.
So what we just rezoned, if we had not rezoned it, or if we had done a second reading, we would not be dealing with this today.
Correct.
Okay? Since we've adopted it, we're dealing with it today. Is there anything out of the ordinary with this application?
No, sir. I am just, I sent her an email yesterday, and there are just a couple of health inspection and another item that needs to be done, and then as soon as it's submitted to me, I can approve it.
But until they have everything done, it doesn't get approved. This would be, so a normal course of action for the Board of Supervisors is these reside on our consent agenda.
Correct.
Yep. Discussion.
Nope. One follows the other.
None.
Okay.
You're looking for
a motion? I am looking for a motion.
I would move consideration of Class C liquor license, beer and wine for JJ's Station Inc., doing business as JJ's Station in Mammy's Cafe in Ziering, Iowa.
I will second.
Motion and a second. Further discussion. Chief.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. It passes. Next item is discussion and consideration of Story County acceptable use policy after the, it says 7-day review, but it feels like it's been more like 21-day review, Barb.
Welcome back, Barb.
Hey, Barb. Good morning, Board.
Good morning.
It is a 21-day review. We've had a couple technical issues and some other things, but that did give everyone a chance to get a good look at it. The copy I presented to you today just has a few changes. Two suggestions for rewording. So if you'll look under the first item overview, we've just changed that third paragraph and made it into two sentences instead of one. It makes it an easier read. The other change was, I believe, so if you'll look under 4.3.1, or just 4.3, sorry. And then number two, we changed the wording on that because the grammar didn't really make sense. So those were two smaller changes. And then the big change we made was under the 4.3.3, the paragraph that Loris had asked to be omitted, deleted. We just inserted for number three a paragraph from the social media policy to make it tie with that. So those were the only changes.
I just have a question about 4.4 now. 4.3.4 there. The second sentence. If an employee is expressing his or her belief and or Story County opinion, okay, so then they cannot represent themselves as an employee or representative. Did you really mean to say as an employee or representative, or just as an representative? I just want to be clarified there, because how would they be representing a Story County opinion if they weren't an employee? And maybe I just have missed it.
Well, I think anybody can say that they're expressing the opinions of Story County, not necessarily being an employee.
That was your second hand.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. I'm good then. I don't need to be good.
another thought on that. Thank you.
Further discussion or questions? If not, I'd sure take a motion.
Appreciate what you, before you do it, Loris, I appreciate the deep dive you did on this, because this is so much of what you do being on this board. I mean, no small lack of effort goes on behind the scenes to bring a finished product through Barb by way of Loris.
I will move that we accept the 7-day review and the edits of the acceptable use policy.
I would second that.
Motion and second. Further discussion. Olson.
Aye.
Chitty.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Story County acceptable use policy has now passed all the way through, and it is policy. Thanks, Barb.
Thank you, Barb.
Thank you.
Next item is consideration of Story County Economic Development Group allocation of pool funds for $15,000. Jennifer Davies and Leanne Harder.
Good morning.
Morning.
Still morning. Outstanding.
We're having a good meeting.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm going to just quickly set the stage and turn over to Jennifer as chair of the Story County Economic Development Group. Normally, the item that you're talking about this morning is on your consent agenda on an annual basis, but since there's a new board, I thought it would be appropriate, and operating under new guidelines and new bylaws, or revised bylaws and guidelines, I thought it would be more appropriate this first time to have it as an additional item. With that, I'll turn over to Jennifer.
Well, before you should be a spreadsheet of the applications that we received through the Story County Economic Development Group. As you can see, there was actually $16,100 requested, and we reduced one of the requests to bring us down to the maximum available of $15,000. There was 9 applications for the project funds. It is the recommendation of the Story County Economic Development Board to accept and approve the projects as presented to you.
Absolutely. And so just to be clear for the board, and I think you guys both know this, but we fund the Story County Economic Development Group at the level of $100,000.
Correct.
$85,000 of that is utilized in a per capita distribution from those who actually participate in the group. That comes forward. When do you bring that funding forward? We do that at the end of the year. Generally.
At our next meeting, it'll be presented,
right,
which should be the end of April or the beginning of May. As I understand, we're going to shift that date.
Just a little earlier so we can get everything done.
Yeah.
But then the $15,000 that we're discussing today has always been available to the group to determine specific projects within communities and how they would fund those. And as I think Leanne mentioned, generally this comes before us on consent, but we wanted to make sure that with our makeup, at least our first time through, we have the opportunity to really discuss this. So it's dollars that are budgeted and allocated and utilize exactly as the board has asked them to be utilized.
Has there been any communications hearing to tell them that we aren't funding their whole?
Yes, they were at the meeting that these were approved at.
Okay, there. Okay.
They're well aware.
Okay. I have a question for the board, okay? Or probably Rick. All right, but Zering has it here. It's for the same project that we 2 weeks ago said didn't qualify under it for the facade.
That's right.
Okay.
Right.
So, but these funds are unencumbered as far as it's whatever the Economic Development Group wants to do. It doesn't prevent Zering from applying for the same project or to get additional funding, correct?
It does not.
Okay.
Now, I would say that we would take that, so as I recall, and I'm using rough numbers, the $34,000 project,
right,
all said and done, that Zering is requesting. Clearly, our grant process was not going to take that full amount.
Right.
I think it's wise of us to take into account where the other dollars are coming from as we think about putting right forward some additional money.
Right, because that the facade was at 20% from us with a 20% match from the city, and then of course.
And this is part of that other, right?
Yeah, rather than the match of the city.
Okay.
All right.
Any other questions on this? I take a motion to approve if either of you is so inclined.
I move consideration of Story County Economic Development Group's allocation of pool funds for $15,000 as presented.
I second.
Motion and second. Any further discussion?
Nope.
Leanne or Jennifer, anything to add before we vote? Thank you guys very much for your work. Chitty?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. It's approved as presented. Thank you.
I do have a couple of FYI items for the board with this. As you said, we usually have in the past done this in the spring. We are going to shift this to our July meeting for fiscal year 18 so that it better fits in the fiscal year. So you would again be seeing these, perhaps, don't be surprised when you're seeing these again in August or September after they've been approved at a July.
Yeah, it makes sense to get it to our city sooner so that they have the full fiscal year to deal with it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep, and at our next meeting, we will also be making a few tweaks to our bylaws. One, if you guys see appointing it as well, the appointing of our representatives to the Story County Economic Development meeting, we'd like to shift that to be due June 1st to also fit with the fiscal year that we're going in. And we also want to set limits for these pool funds that you just approved. To be more like around 2,500 as a max, and only being able to submit one application per community versus multiple. We did actually receive multiple from a couple of the communities.
Right.
And
traditionally, it's been one per community, and I can't recall a time that it's been much over 2,500 per community.
No, actually, it's gradually gone up a little bit over the course of the last couple of years, of course, with the funding that's come through the county has increased a little bit. So those will be at our next meeting.
And then I made a request before our meeting started, Jennifer, to take a look at their next meeting date as it coincides with our countywide emergency drill. And you said you'd look at that. You'd try to see if we can do so.
We'll see about another date then.
Perfect. Yep. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Jennifer, I'd like to just mention a little housekeeping item. You might want to go back and take a look at the Cambridge representative appointment. It says the sitcom Philip Kelly at the top, but they've appointed Scott DeYoung. So I'm thinking it's really Cambridge.
They didn't change theirs, did they?
Yeah. Anyway, so I'm just
saying. Yeah, I can't believe we could have more than one Scott DeYoung.
And then they convinced them to par it down from those 39 alternates after we've been scratched out to maybe one or two.
I understand that.
We have a meeting requirement to get their funding,
right.
So in our bylaws.
Yeah,
so
but it does need to be for the right day. Okay. Thank you.
Good
guess, Horace. Got something else. He got the best mayor sash.
Oh, by
God. That's right.
He bought it himself, and it cost
$80. $80. All right. Next is consideration of contract between Story County and Gatehouse Media for a one-year quarterly publication of Our Story in the Sun at $3,000 per quarter. So I'll tee this one up. So, Leanne, you and I started working on this a year or so ago, trying to put something together and really struggle putting it together. Somehow we ended up with somebody who had worked for years and years in the media world joining us on the board. So we asked her to come on board and see what she could put together. And hopefully we're at the end of that, Loris.
We are at the end of that. I am disappointed that the discussion I had with their advertising manager, who is really in control of this on a day-to-day basis, is not the discussion or not the terms that when it got to corporate they would accept. But it's okay. It's going to cost us about $150 more per quarter because we're going to print the 500 copies in-house.
Okay.
Leanne's working on that right now, and we were just looking at the paper and looking at the look, and actually those 500 are going to be on a nice, thick, white paper. They're going to not be on newsprint, so they're going to look pretty good. But I think the overall design is great. Leanne's really worked to create
that even if this is going to go on just four consecutive pages in the Sun, it's going to be very clear that this is a Story County publication. There'll be no advertising on it.
Right.
It'll clearly mark, and we're excited. The other thing that was not in that contract that we had discussed is copy going into Iowa State Daily, because the Tribune is delivering copy in right now, and I do understand why they wouldn't want to bind themselves from one contract to another contract. So we'll be advocating quarterly to see if we can get an article then maybe into the Daily every once in a while, or, you know, as we go forward. Otherwise, I think that the price that Leanne and Rick were originally quoted, about $3,000 to go into 40,000 copies with total distribution, was a fair price. And
let's just be clear, that's $3,000 per quarter, it's $12,000
a year. $12,000 for the year.
Yep.
And this first year will let us know exactly how this is working, how response. I suspect response is going to be good. The public's going to get an opportunity to see the county. There's lots of ideas coming forward already, but to understand what we do and to do it in a different format and make it much more accessible. So good idea on your guys' part, and I'm happy I could fill in the I could fill in some of the logistics involved, and then as we move forward with the website and then get some more exposure on the radio, we should have
for the public, talk a little about the circulation of the Sun and why you feel that was the right choice for us to do this.
Yes. This was not put out for an RFP. And the reason is the Sun does go to 40,000, roughly 40,000 households. I think it's probably 33,000 or 34,000. But then they also distribute on racks throughout the county. So the Sun also focuses on community news. And that's what we want, is community news to be in that publication. And it was the most affordable price for us to be able to hit everyone. Had we been trying to do something with the Tribune, for example, I believe the circulation numbers are around 8,000 now. So this was the vehicle, and there is no other print vehicle in the county or that serves the county on a regular basis that could both provide that many copies and get it into each household, or the vast majority of households.
So with the exception of student housing on Iowa State campus, what address does the Sun not hit? Or is it their intent that they hit every other address other than student housing?
Correct. They hit every other address in Story County but student housing, and student housing is served by RACs instead.
Leah, anything to add?
No, appreciate the patience. Well, I've had a little bit of learning curve, but a very new software program to me. But I am a little bit more comfortable than I was 2 weeks ago. But I'm sure as we get to the third quarter, I'll be extremely comfortable. But there might be some rough patches in between 20 and 20.
And so the way this is working is we'll have $3,000 of unbudgeted funds spent yet in FY17, and then we've got $12,000 that we'll spend in.
We'll have $9,000 we'll spend in.
We'll have $12,000 because this goes for the first three quarters, and then I would assume we'll continue. We've got $12,000 in the budget.
Right. Yes. That is correct. But yes, the contract only takes us through one quarter and then 9 months into fiscal year 18.
Correct. Marty, questions?
So by expanding these two questions, and this speaks to your industry knowledge here, how is the content going to be generated to be what's going to be placed in there?
We are providing all content.
When you say we, that's an inclusive pronoun.
Leanne and I, at least this time, I'm doing the cover story just because of the timing. And then all other content is being provided to Leanne from various departments.
Okay.
All right. So there's an article on the Tedesco Learning Center. Did you write that, Leanne? Or did Conservation wrote it. There will be there's something on the groundbreaking which Leanne wrote, but and then it's a recap of we're looking for people to sit on, like conservation's board or assets board. There will be features on various different departments that either Leanne will will write or the departments will contribute. So all content will be internally generated. Hopefully we'll have an intern too, but none of it will be generated by Tribune staff.
Alright. And just that we have the ability to look at it prior to print?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Okay, so we're looking
at it. It's being built here in-house.
Okay, just one of those things just doesn't
yes, no, no. That's a good question. It's a good question because in the contract, I did negotiate saying that based on the fact that we're going to be using new software that's used in the industry,
right.
They are providing assistance anytime Leanne needs it. But the final product, the final PDF that will be delivered to them will be produced here in-house. So we will get to see it, yes, before it goes out of house.
Right. And it's been the intention, and I know you guys agree with this, but I want to say it clearly for everybody. This is not an editorial piece. This is an informational piece.
Correct.
Not intended that we're going to advocate for, against anything. We're going to be reporting out what's going on in Story County.
Right. Exactly.
So as you spend these dollars, at what point with your knowledge, having done this for 2 decades, will you feel that you've got bang for your buck, for the lack of a better term? You feel like you've got the penetration out there, as you're doing this, is knowledge delivery.
Right.
Where are you going to get? I'm sure you might just do it on an anecdotal basis, but I mean, is there any metrics that you can sit there and come back and say, hey, I think these were dollars well spent on a going forward basis?
It is, I think, going to have to be anecdotal, at least for the first year. There's no easy way unless we bring on like a marketing intern who can then maybe construct some surveys. And as we know, polling more and more becomes difficult, okay, to people. But it will be anecdotal. It'll be the number of people who recognize, maybe attend a program. Maybe we can get applications up for some of these commission appointments that are difficult to fill sometimes. Feedback to everyone in the county. They're saying, I saw that. I have a question about it. So I think it'll take a year. And as we head into that last quarter, we can sit down and evaluate what has feedback been, and not only to us, but the morning I spent writing in the plow. Okay, I had a very good discussion about the impact of social media and when articles appear on various the various departments, when they appear in the media. That feedback comes back to those employees too, and invariably it's positive or it's asking questions, so that can come up through the department heads also.
Okay.
But other than us launching something very technical to do an actual polling about did you see this metrically, that's difficult. I will give you a statistic that the Des Moines Register used when we opened up the section up here with me, 17 or 15 years ago. Okay. And that for each paper that gets that total market distribution like that, they count 2.5 eyes seeing it. So when you think about the household, think about the number of count of papers that are being printed, then take off for what would be the pickup rack at lunch or whatever. So let's go back to, say, 30,000.
Yeah.
But then think about the average household outside of the student area and who might pick it up, especially this type of publication where it is a teen might pick it up because they might know somebody in it. A photo, or somebody got graduation honors. Let's face it, the copy is not always the most exciting. I mean, as opposed to the fact that it's good copy, it says this is what's going on in your communities. So you can look at a read somewhere close, maybe to 60,000. I can't take it to 90 because babies don't read. Okay, I do feel.
I feel comfortable that you answered my 2 questions because, you look at that, it's a $12,000 commitment. Mm-hmm. I know that it was prior to us coming here. This is a consideration. Now, through your diligence and Leanne's, and we just bring it to ourselves, and I would be remiss if I made the motion. I think this is something you should do.
I move that we accept the one-year contract in the total amount of $12,000 split out as far as fiscal year 17, $3,000 of unbudgeted funds, and fiscal year 18, $9,000 of unbudgeted funds for quarterly insert, or no, sorry, quarterly contribution of four pages into the Sun, which is owned by Gatehouse Media, Inc.
I get the easy part. I second that.
Yeah. Motion in a second. Any further discussion? Ian, thank you for shepherding this all the way through. Lawrence, thank you for coming in and picking it up and getting this across the finish line. Further discussion?
None.
Olson?
Aye.
Chief?
Aye.
Sanders?
Aye.
I think this is a good thing.
Yep.
Next item is consideration of option two, full building backup. For the 2017 emergency generator power study for the Human Services Building. We spent lots and lots of time on this last week, and now we get to the decision point where we would actually go out for bids.
Correct. There is some information, though, that in the prices that were worked up, that does include design fees and the bid management, so I guess I'm suggesting that we would bring back a contract with Rose and Mackey Harris for that, mm-hmm. and then they would put it out for bid and move forward. Other than that, I believe question two is the way to go.
I think we covered it last week. Yeah. I think we are at that point right now. I would. If anybody has anything, I make a motion because I think, in my mind, all the questions I had were already answered. And I appreciate what you did because this is no small thing. I guess I would be shocked, and I think, Larson, you and I talked about this just casually. It's like you would think that building would have had one of the first generators that we would have had in the county, but now it's the one to have the last.
Yeah.
Okay, that's it. I would move consideration of option two for a full building backup for 2017 emergency generator study for the Human Services Center. And I would direct staff to solicit bids accordingly.
I second.
Motion and second. Further discussion. Thanks for your work on this, Cal. Chitty.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Passes. No agency reports. Departmental report. And we've still got two items moved from the consent agenda that we've got to deal with that I'm going to suggest we deal with at the conclusion of the engineer's quarterly report. Darren Moon.
Morning.
Good morning, Darren.
Darren?
Okay, I'm going to start out with some maintenance work updates. Our crews have been busy with the light winter, doing a lot of bridge repairs, erosion repairs, and brush cutting, and tower repairs. I'll show you a couple pictures. This is one bridge repair. It's about 2 miles northwest of Maxwell. Similar issue we have on bridges, we have a lowering stream bed, so the bottom gets undercut, and we have a bad pile, and there's another bad pile outside the picture. You can see the problem, the stream bed comes and sucks the dirt under the back walls. So we came in and did our concrete pile repairs, a little one over here and a big one here, and we backfilled it all with dirt and riprapped it. And did some stream channel realignment as well to keep that from banging against that back wall so hard. But the rest of this bridge is in really good shape, so this ought to buy us a lot of time with this bridge.
That's not load rated, is it?
I don't believe it is, no. Erosion repairs, this is a fairly serious one we had last week on North Dakota, just north of Ames. We had a tree fall and redirected the water towards the road and started really undercutting the road to the point where it was almost straight up and down. So we had emergency crew go out Monday, first thing Monday morning, and built that all back out with dirt and riprap, and you can see some of the trees that fell down. It redirected that water into the bank in this prior picture.
How did we find out about that?
We did receive a call from the public on this.
Yeah.
You know. There's another erosion repair we did down just north of Huxley on 310th. This is a pretty major stream through there, and it had been eroding over the years. We kept a close eye on it, got to the point where we had to do something and build it out again, put riprap. There's a box covered outlets here. It's fairly short. That's why you kind of see a little shorter stretch there. But as usual, we do these types of projects and we clear vegetation. It makes it much more visible to the public. So we've had some complaints on wanting more delineators and possible guardrail. We did add a bunch of delineators through here, but we generally don't do guardrail and gravel roads. We have a lot of situations like this that people just don't notice it's overgrown, but guardrail is pretty rare on gravel roads. Oh, Marty, I just wanted to point this out. This ditch cleaning request we had in. Mm-hmm. I bring this up because it ties into the DD5 discussion that we had. This is a small wood bridge we have on 570th, north of 13th Street a ways. This is kind of that area where it splits out in this field. Could go down DD5 or come back this direction. It's been requested to clean this ditch out. And there's a crossroad cover about halfway up. It's about 500 feet up to the wet spot. Move up to the crossroad culvert. This is the cross. Somebody dug it out recently to try to bring it down a little bit. But you can see that water kind of sits out in the field and doesn't really get in the ditch much. So for the time being, Marty, I think we're going to try to clean out at least up to the crossroad culvert. Mm-hmm. But I'm not sure it's going to take care of that problem because it's just higher than.
Well,
culvert's higher.
With the new 18-inch pipe going through, Kettleson's help ameliorate that? I mean, would that pull that down too?
I don't know if this is tile.
Is that just surface?
I believe there's comments that there is tile through here.
Well, that's yeah. It would be a private tile, but I'm wondering if that would be tied in somewhere to, not necessarily at Kettleson's, but into the water going through the Kettleson pipe.
I would say there's some other. It does not drain well either way, so I think there's maybe a tile block, if there is tile. This is a 2013 photo. You can see it. It always ponds right here. Uh-huh. That bridge is right down here.
Okay.
Where's the culvert?
The culvert's about halfway up there.
Talking about cleaning up where the standing water is down, but it's still the farmer's responsibility to get their water from their field to the ditch, right? That's not our responsibility, unless they're part of a drainage district.
Correct.
Tile.
About 100 years ago, it looked similar.
Yep.
So I want to point out that it does pond here, and this is the discussion we've been having. This is kind of the break point going down to DD5, or it goes this way. Back then, it kind of cut off right here. I'm not sure what that is compared to now. It's more of a drainage way. But that's the big issue with DD5, where this water goes. Do we go this way or that way?
And if it goes west, it ends up flowing into that stream that runs just to the east of Barilla.
Correct.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you. I appreciate you getting out there because you've got company shortly after you showed up.
That's a hot bed area. They got company right away.
People know your truck. People know your face.
Gravel road conditions are good. No frost boils this year. It's a rare occurrence not to get frost boils, and that's a great deal. Last year we had to close a couple, but it was still fairly minor year. But this year we've seen almost nothing.
That's going to help you going forward into the busy season here you're going about to take on.
And we'll get a little earlier start on gravel hauling, which starts tomorrow. We're starting today at the Boone County pit hauling gravel with our crews. Tomorrow the contract haul starts. This is McCallsburg in the middle, so from about E29 north over to Zering and over to R77, we're going to be about 120 miles there of contract rock hauling. That should take a week and a half to 2 weeks to get completed.
So we talked about that during the budgeting process. So this is monies that we won't be spending to move gravel next year because we will have the trucks to do it ourselves, right?
We'll see
on a contract hauling basis.
Yeah, starting about the middle of June, we're going to try to hit it hard with our own crews and see how much we can get done. It'll be an experiment, but we'll see how much we can do. And if we don't get it done, we'll have to do a smaller contract in the spring. That won't be this large, I can guarantee that.
All right.
Wanted to touch base quick on our parts budget. This kind of ties in with our motor grader lease. We have a $130,000 parts budget. That was part of the selling point of our lease was we'd lower that parts budget by having newer motor graders and we wouldn't have the major repairs. We budgeted, like I said, $130,000. Those first couple of years with the motor grader lease, it really helped. We did not spend anywhere close to the $130,000. This year, we've already spent the $130,000 out of this fiscal year. That's due to our trucks and mostly due to the new emissions equipment on our trucks. That started about 4 years ago. It's a new completely new system. You can't really see it on this truck. Mm-hmm. But behind the cab, there's a whole... What it does is it burns the emissions clean before it releases them. But it adds probably $15,000 to the new truck to put that system in. And it is a requirement. We don't have a choice. And it's good for the environment, but it adds a lot of cost. And we have found they need repairs within a couple of years. And this year, I think we had three or four. It's easily $5,000 minimum to clean out that filter. And so we're seeing a lot of expenses in those new emission systems, and that's another reason why I tried to expedite that motor grader purchase, is we got them purchased before they were required on the
right.
new motor graders, because we knew with this is a new generation type system, we wanted to work out the bugs in those before we had a whole new fleet of motor graders with that emission. But we're seeing it in our trucks. We're having a lot of difficulty with them, but that's why you see our parts budget is so high. And
so that reflects the DT purchase fuel or the fluid?
Yeah, these have an extra fuel tank in them, a DEF fluid. You got to have a separate fuel tank in our shop to fill that tank separately, and then that's the fuel that burns the emissions out clean. So it's quite a change in our fleet, but it's the way of the future.
It's tier 4 motors. I mean, that's what it is.
But we're expecting the system to last longer than they are. So hopefully they get the systems perfect a little better where they don't. Maintenance doesn't cost quite so much. I was going to point out, too, Lisa is doing her amendment, last amendment for the year, and we did add in the new $223,000 truck we pushed up a year. That's because of our DOT budget. We can't go over certain categories by 10%. We're not going to go over our total budget. We're not going to get close to that, but we could get close to 10%. So she's going to show that as an amendment, but we're not really spending any more money.
That money will just roll over.
Yep.
Right.
Okay. Moving on to construction updates. The yellow is what we're doing for construction this season. We have 7 projects. They were all designed and let on time. A little over $4 million in construction, so that's a busy season for us. I put down the amounts that everything came in at there. I will point out Grant Avenue paving. I think we're going to add, we talked about doing a four-way stop here on Moose Road 190th.
Yep.
I think we'll get that going here in the next couple months and have it in place before we start construction. So there's going to be a lot of construction at that south end. That'll slow traffic down and get people used to that stop sign before we get the project completed.
I think that's smart enough. Does that have to go through the board, or can you just handle that as an engineer?
It'll be a resolution, but it'll probably just be on consent.
Okay.
You'll see it come through.
Yep.
Secondly, I would point out we do still have a property owner issue. We're still working out the details. It's been ongoing. Working with Ethan. We're hoping to meet with him again in the next couple weeks here. It's an ownership issue and the first right of refusal we have on this piece of ground. I think we've got the farm ground taken care of, but now we still need the easement in front of a certain property. We can actually build the project without that easement, but the front yard will be very steep, so we need a temporary easement to make it look nice in their yards. We're still working on that portion.
Do we actually have agreement now on who owns the property? Because, I mean, it was...
We believe we
pointed each other on who owned it,
right? They corrected the deed, so we believe we can move forward with the farm ground portion. The person that owns the house doesn't have the same opinion, so we're working on that one.
All right.
Also, we had the pre-construction meeting this past week for Grant and 600th Avenue paving, so we found out the schedule is a little bit closer. 600th will start first. Probably within the next month, maybe month and a half, you'll start seeing the grading work take place. And they're anticipating June paving on 600.
So reopen in July would be our expectation?
Yeah.
For 600?
Yeah. That'll be open now time for harvest.
Last time you said it was going to start in July, and that just caused a lot of people heartache. Mm-hmm. That's a highly trafficked area, you know that.
Grant will start closer to July, so that one, the good part is the school year will be out. And so they'll be starting the school year with the construction. But so right now, maybe late June, early July, starting on grading, and then not till September would be the paving and the bike path portion. So that would be pushed well in the fall.
And all I would suggest, and I can handle this if need be, as that schedule gets a little closer to solidified, we just need to do a great job communicating with the Gilbert School Board so that they can keep their people informed.
We'll do that. And we had John Pop at the pre-construction meeting, and he was going to pass some of that information, preliminary information, on to the city as well. Moving on to construction project design, we started to work on the University Avenue paving plans. That's just 3/4 mile paving south of Ames there. So we'll start buying right away this summer and fall. I would point out we ran into one issue working with Alliant on. They're in the process, with all the development happening there now, of putting new power poles in. I talked about this last fall, that we anticipated a project, and once we solidified our five-year program, I got back and I said, yes, we are doing a grade and pave there. So what they decided to do was just move their power poles just outside of the right-of-way, which is not good for us, because we're going to have to pay to move them within the next year. So I'm trying to work with Alliant on finding another way to go about doing that, but I have no control over what they do outside the right-of-way. So if they move forward with that process, they submitted a permit to only I knew about it, because they need to remove the existing poles. So I'm holding on to that, but I cannot control them from putting new poles outside the right-of-way. They apparently talked to the private landowners, but trying to get that stopped. They think there'd be a better way to go about it, because I don't know what the bill is going to be in the county to remove those poles and place them out another 10 feet this fall. But I'll keep you updated on that. Working on plans for E63 Collins overlay, and then additional 4 bridge replacements for 2018. 5-year construction program. I got an updated map here, and we'll have those on the website today as well, the updated maps. We'll discuss that more at the end. I do want to point out 2 things quickly that I did not discuss at our last meeting. One is the paving points. The 2 projects that we added in for 560th down by Huxley, we separated into 2 projects. Neither one of them met the paving point requirement. They need to meet 50 paving points, according to the DOT, or we have to hold a public hearing. And so these are the categories you got to meet the points in, the type of road it is. Those are both local roads, so we got just the 5 points for that. The ADT on the south mile is at 50, so we only got 5 points for ADT. And then the closest parallel routes are pretty close. We got 0 points, and then not a high truck traffic route down there. So we only got, this is really hard to see,
but the 2 bottom ones are both the 560th projects. We only had
15 points, and I believe that's 26 points on the one above it. So since those are under 50, I had to enter a public hearing date on the left to submit the program. I did a future date. I could only do that because it's not in the councilman here, which is the first year. If it wasn't that, I would have had to have the hearing before.
Right.
But so I set a future hearing date, so just to let you know, we will need to hold a hearing for paving points on both of those paving projects. And also, I want to point out on that 560th project, we talked about having Huxley take ownership and do the design for the north mile, and you were correct. We did do that with Ames on State Street. I was thinking of the gravel portion we had that agreement on. But we did do that on that, so that's a good example agreement we can use for this. And then I'll get to the Trinity.
And so that's the portion of State Street between Mortensen and Oakwood.
Correct, where the road curves just south of Highway 30. Ames did that project, and we paid for our portion. And so we can do that here, and then I'll get to the Trinity Trust. Will be similar, but we won't have any funding in that 500th. I'll get to that later. DOT projects, the Skunk River bridges are still going on, and lane widening, and the flyover bridge for the I-35/30 is also taking place. So this 265th right here, this bridge is being taken out right now, and that's the reason for the closures on the interstate at night, is so they can remove those beams. So we're into that gravel road detours situation here. That's the bridge right here over the interstate. So they can't use 260th and 265th to get through. So we have, traffic has to go all the way down to 290th to get around that area right now.
There's a meeting tonight at Ballard High School on 35 flyover. I was planning on attending, but I can't now. We've got drainage district here.
I plan on attending that instead of the drainage district.
Yep.
So.
And so I think it's going to be really, really important that we use whatever megaphone we have here just to try to keep the public really updated. As I understand the plans, that is really going to be a mess for a little while.
Well, sort of this, we have at least one more bridge that goes over the interstate that'll probably, I assume, will have to be widened as well. And we have the bike path, part of Iowa goes through. So I'll see what the plans are for that tonight.
Okay.
Down to the pipeline project. Talked about that at the last meeting, how we're pretty well completed in Story County. I did contact ISG for an update, and they will be on the board's agenda for next week. So I will add that. Road maintenance agreements. I've met with City of Ames to discuss the draft agreement. This is the prior agreement that we had. The blue lines are the City of Ames responsibility, and the orange is the county responsibility. In Ames' agreement's unique. It only addresses snow and ice control. No other maintenance to roads are addressed in that agreement right now. We're going to have to change that up a bit. This is the proposed agreement. Most of the changes are over here. It doesn't show the annexation on here yet, but just picture that annexation coming through here. The blue is the city. I was hoping to get the city to take this loop up here. Not only did they agree to take that, they agreed to take the half mile south here as well, as far as snow and ice control maintenance goes on 580th. They were mostly interested in having us maintain this gravel road here because they don't even own the motor grader.
Right.
So that was a big concern of theirs. So we're going to have to change the agreement up a little bit that adds some maintenance, and we'll be rocking this and doing the permitting for dust control and all that type of stuff. So the agreement will change in that respect. But I think the rest of the pavements will still stay just snow and ice control only. So that was the major change area over here. They'll take all that. And then the little quarter mile that they didn't annex, they'll take that as well. So that takes us pretty well off of Lincoln Way. Because
Ames will butt up against Nevada.
Correct.
Good. But we've still got part of Nevada. We got to work on that agreement.
They may be willing to take that over as well. So we're still working on it.
Are you talking Ames or you're talking Nevada?
Nevada.
Okay.
Should
have had it all along.
Other changes over here, they recently annexed this, but that's on the pavement we already maintained, so we'll take over maintenance of that. This is that Trinitas development I'll get to in a second.
So we got everything north on County Line Road. We got everything north from Lincoln Way.
Correct.
Well, and Boone just has us take care of the whole road.
Correct. We have a County Line agreement with Boone.
Yep. Yeah.
Let's get to the Trinitas development then. This is the proposed development. Two things. One is the paving of the road, and the other issue is with the drainage district. First, Ames is requiring the development to pave this portion, curb and gutter, and we've commented, Boone County and myself, that we might as well use the same curb and gutter design all the way up to Lincoln Way up here. So we need to come up with an agreement similar to the one we've been talking about, where the Ames will, I don't know if the developer or Ames will take the design responsibility for that. I think the developer will. The Fox Engineering is designing it. So we'll be working on that agreement. There's also a bridge right here, so that'll have to be replaced with a box culvert. And then when it comes to the drainage district, we just replaced DD4 tile just 5-8 years ago, that time frame. It's got a brand new tile through here. The developer, which is Fox Engineering, the engineer, is proposing to cut it off at that bridge and abandon the district tile to the west. And Scott Wall replied that as far as we know, that's not an option by code. You can't abandon a portion of a district. But that's what they're proposing, so they're going to come to the trustees and propose that, so that'll be a discussion we'll have to have on
what so this legal is. This water all flows into College Creek, right?
Correct.
And so the water to the west is flowing through this property to ultimately get to College Creek. So if you cut it off right there, are you building a pond? Where are you building?
They're doing an outlet to tile in and have an open ditch through here, which I'm trying to picture. That must be right through here then. Open ditch all the way through.
So they're proposing having the tile, the existing tile, go away but outlet into an open ditch.
Correct.
Okay.
But that is all brand new 24-inch tile we just put in there. So.
Right.
That'll be coming to the board, I would assume, fairly shortly because they're talking about possibly paving this yet this year.
And that's a drainage district issue, not a supervisor issue. The road is a supervisor issue.
Right. The Boone County agreement, the board passed that already. We just got it back from the state. It's been approved where we maintain this Boone County line agreement down here. Nevada, I don't picture that, but we are working with Nevada. We currently don't have a 2080 with Nevada, and that sent them a map showing all of our shared roads that could be put into an agreement if they would like to. So I'm waiting to hear back from the city on that. The federal lane swap that was approved by the state, that gave the state authority to give the county's or local dollars in exchange for the federal dollars. As I mentioned in the last meeting, that could be a 1 to 2 year process on how we go about doing that. It'll have a big impact on the RPAs and the MPOs, I assume, as well. But these are some of the points I gave you before. The big thing is it frees that money up. Before, we could only use federal aid money on the federal aid routes for paving, and now we could use it on it. We assume we'll be able to use that on it, but those are the details we'll be working out. Drainage district issues. We had one major tile just south of Colo in the drainage district where they all connected. We've had that open for a couple months now. We were able to get that completed last week. It was about 200 foot of tile that had been repaired in the past with CMP, but it was put in very poorly at the time the drain comes up and down, so it needed replaced. It's hard to... We have rubber-tired excavators. It's hard to get out in fields to do repairs with those unless it's in very dry conditions. Fortunately, we had a tile repair just south of this with a contractor I'll get to in a second. Was able to hop up and help us out at a very reasonable cost and got this completed for us last week. So it's the 200 feet of tile we had to put in there, but that's been completed. Let me jump back to this. I wanted to, before I get to the tile crossing, this is the cell tower in the road right away. This is back in that similar area we're talking about, the Trinitas, just north of, this is Lincoln Way down here. Just north is that new car dealership's right here.
Yep.
Boone County Line. This is the first time this has been proposed in Story County. Apparently other counties have dealt with this just recently. This is a 120-foot cell tower pole. They've gotten approval from the Iowa Utilities Board to be a utility. And when you do that, you have the right to use public right-of-way. So when I get a utility permit in, I have to work with them on where to place it, but I can't say, no, you can't come in here. I got to just meet my requirements and where to be placed. So that's what they're saying here is they have the right to use the public right-of-way for a 120-foot high utility pole. I have a problem with that.
Absolutely.
One, on a road perspective, they have a proposed right in the ditch bottom, fairly close to the road, so they're going to have to put guardrail up in front of it. That, I can control that. I can say we happen to have quite a wide right-of-way here, so I can push them out to 50 feet on the back slope. But I have the right to do that. But at this point, I don't believe I have the right to say, no, you can't go in the road right away. My major concern is the zoning issue. They could potentially put one of these up right in front of somebody's house then, and I wouldn't have any control over it.
Well, we got an ordinance that says you must be 150% of the height of the tower away from property line or buildings.
On a fall.
That's what I'm saying. 150 feet of the height of 150% of the height of the tower. So you said this is 120 feet?
Yes.
So what is that? It's 180 feet they should be, in my mind, back from anything. Including the road.
This is part of the reason, but I haven't been talking to Jerry, and because it's in the road right away, he doesn't feel his regulations apply, so that's where we're kind of caught in the middle here. So we're going to be meeting with Ethan and all three of us sit down and talk about this.
Let's get through this in a hurry, because I think this is a big deal. I think these need to be, if our regulations currently say 150%, I think this needs to be 180 feet away from a roadway. I mean, because if it goes down, where's it going down?
Plus, I think we need to determine if the ordinance applies to road right away as well.
Once you get one of these, you're going to point to say, well, you already let this one in. You know, the camel gets his nose under the tent.
All right, so we'll count up, Darren, are you working with Ethan to give us some decent recommendations on what kind of
authority? What this is, it's a new 5G cellular service. So it's a new thing that's going to be good for the community.
Absolutely.
Before we locate them, this is another question. Let me bump back to the tile policy. There's a code section that deals with tile crossings. It's a bit of a gray issue on some areas that I wanted to get the board's feel. Not today, I just want to introduce it to you and have you think about this. The code section says if a tile line or drainage must be projected across the road right away, we have to work with that, and we need to use funds available for said highway, so the county needs to pay for those crossings.
Right.
There is a section in the code that requires that if they want reimbursement, that we could force them to go through a public hearing process and submit plats to the auditor. They never want to do that. The first I hear about these, when the contractor's already out there working and ready to cross the road, so they don't want to go through that process. So it becomes kind of a negotiation. And one that just came up is that one that I question whether public funds should be used for the crossing. It's hard to see there, but this red line, it already has a drainage district tile through the road, and there's a bridge here. So there's all kinds of drainage provided. He's bringing 4 or 5 tile into that area and wants to cross with this new tile just on the outside of that bridge.
What's his rationale? Is it that the existing tile line and bridge can't accommodate what he's putting through there?
That, and what you don't want to have is outlet a bunch of new tile and have it run across your neighbor's property downstream. That's just not a neighborly thing to do. Surface outlet and have it run across your neighbor, especially when there's already a district tile there. That it's not big enough in his mind to connect all these new ones too, so that's why he wants a separate one. The question is the county responsible to pay for that? One thing I did about 5 years ago is I set up a fund with the board. It was at that point we set up a fund for $10,000 a year, and that's where we get back to the available funds in the code. We figured we had the $10,000 when that kind of ran dry. We could tell them, well, you can do it, but you're not going to get reimbursed until next fiscal because the funds aren't available right now. The first, 4 years, we only spent like $1,500, and all of a sudden this year, I've already spent $10,000, and I had bumped that down a little bit to $7,000. You can't plan for it. And one paved crossing where they got a bore, that's going to eat up $10,000 right there easily. So it's hard to plan for. That's what we were trying to do with that fund, is have something there available to use. How this one ended up is, he, of course, directed me to the code section and said, no, you need to pay for this, and he gave me an estimate of $5,600. I said, okay, that seems a little high, and I'm not sure it's all public responsibility. So we negotiated down to $2,500 And so we did it at 2,500. But I wanted to get a feel from the board if they had a different opinion on how to move forward with these in the future. But one of the big issues is if when they tile this out, if they have a cover, about 2 to 3 foot of cover at the fence line, potentially they could outlet that and surface drain it. Like I said, that's not a neighborly thing to do, but they do have an outlet. If they don't have an outlet with that much cover at the fence line, they pretty much have to project it across the road, and that's where the county has an obligation to pay for that because they don't have any other choice. But those are the issues behind the whole top that all the counties deal with the same thing. Some counties put a set dollar amount and we'll pay $1,500 per crossing. That could get challenged in court. Because it comes down to a negotiation and say, do you want to go through this public hearing process? And they don't want to, so it's kind of an uncomfortable negotiation.
Well, process. It sounds like you had a good negotiation with this one. $2,500 of public funds to do something that we probably have to do anyway and allow somebody to be neighborly is probably a wise use of dollars that we had already put away for that. I would ask that you and Ethan work together to look at our current practice and how that stands up, what some other counties are doing and how that might stand up, and just come back to the board with a full report of how we might go forward.
The most point out right now, I just want to make you aware of what the policy is, how we do it now, and how you think about it. If you think we need to change it, I could go either way. But this is how we've done it in the past and how we've been directed to do it.
Good.
Lastly, I just want to point out we have two retirements coming up here in the next 2 to 3 months. Craig Ferris, 33 years as a truck driver for the county, retires on May 26th. And Don Tice retires as well, probably late June. And he has 25 years in as a truck driver. Two great employees we're losing there. We're having them train some of our newer ones as quickly as they can. They're the ones out there. These two are hauling those trucks and pups. Those are not easy things to drive, and it takes a lot of experience. So they're quickly training some of our newer guys. When we get some recognition parties set up with these dates, I'll let the board know so you can make sure you can
we'll be there.
And maybe our safety meetings.
We'll be there.
And then lastly, just point out, we did open up the maintenance superintendent position yesterday online, so that is an open position.
How long are you going to have that open?
A month and a half. I want to get a lot of good applicants for that position. We've been uniquely just have one. So right now I'm filling both duties, so bear with me for a couple months here.
Certainly. When did you propose to have that done? Have you got a timeline there in your mind?
Hired?
Yeah.
Well, I'd say a month and a half we'll have apps in, and then hopefully within the next month at least have an offer put out there.
Okay. 3 months we'll get this done.
Yeah.
Good. Wish you luck. Hope you get lucky.
Thank you.
All right. So, if there's no question from Aaron on his report, we got two items to deal with. First one is secondary roads budget that we held over from consent agenda. And the second one is secondary road construction program. They go together hand in glove. So I would suggest we talk about both together. And then, of course, it'll take separate actions on both. Darren, we went through and we talked about this for a long time last week. You made the changes that we as a board requested that you make, and your other comments that you have, and then we'll open up to questions.
No, I gave you those two updates on things I didn't discuss last time, but other than that, nothing has changed on the plan since what we ended up with.
Questions for Darren? Things you want to point out?
No.
Good? Okay. So I wanted to hold this, Russ. I want to make one quick point. So bridges, we talk a lot about bridges. Clearly we've got, you know, the average age of our bridges is somewhere approaching 60 years old. If you just talk in terms of water crossing, so there's some debate of, is it 20 feet, Darren? If it's more than 20 feet, it's a bridge. If it's less than 20 feet, it's crossing. As we consider anything that substantially crosses water, which is 16 feet or more, thereabouts, we're somewhere in the neighborhood of 280. I call it 282 bridges, somewhere in the neighborhood of 280. From 1990 through 2010, Story County substantially improved or replaced 26 of those. Not nearly enough. There were 26 over that 20 years. Since 2010, including what we're doing yet in 17, we're going to have done 28. So we've already done more. from 2010 to today than was done from 1990 to 2010. And it appears to me that we're even ramping up further with what we're talking about approving in here. The reality is, for all supervisors, three of us sitting here now, but for anybody who might sit in these chairs, we better be looking at doing somewhere around 40 every 10 years, or we're really putting ourselves behind the eight ball. And so if you want to call that 4 year, that's fine. We can call it 4 year, but the reality is, in the ebb and flow, every 10-year period, we better be getting somewhere around 40 done. And we fell a little behind there for a few years, and now we're working on catching up. I just wanted to make that note.
I'd point out too quickly, just for the newer board members, we have two budgets. We have the county budget, and then we have the DOT budget. So technically, we have two budgets. So when Lisa amends her local budget coming up, we're also going to have to amend our DOT budget.
Right.
What that DOT budget is when you transfer funds to secondary roads, they are legally protected. They can only be spent on roads. And so everything we do out there on the timesheets, it's coded to these DOT codes so they can check that we're spending that money only on roads. So that's what that budget does. It shows them exactly what we're spending the money on, so they know the money's getting spent on roads.
Absolutely. All right, so if there's no other questions, I'd take first a motion to adopt the secondary road budget.
I would move that we adopt the secondary road budget as presented.
Second.
A motion and a second. Further discussion? Olson?
Aye.
Chi?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. Secondary road budget passes. And then same thing on the secondary roads five-year construction program.
I would move that we adopt the five-year construction project as presented.
Second.
Motion and a second. Further discussion? Olson?
Aye.
Chi?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. Passes. Darren, thanks.
Thank you. You have a use for this map up. There used to be one in a conference room, but you know.
Yeah, one of us will hang that up in our office, just so we'll have it to refer to if we need to.
All right, hang this. Worst thing's maps. You hang maps.
Yep, absolutely. One of us can come back and see us. We'll see maps.
Yeah.
Okay, so now we're to public forum two, opportunity for members of the public to address topics not on today's agenda. Anybody wishing to do so? Not going through the rest of the spiel. Moving on. Liaison assignments, committee meeting updates. I'm starting with Marty this week.
Can't do the job without saying the two words, drainage districts. Working with Eric Peterson to try to increase her presence in the community through a potential provider of space. Wish us all luck. Had a working group on the Crestview Trailer Court. We will be convening this afternoon in Ames. Brenda Dreyer and I, our new liaison from the AEDC, are going to spend a good share of tomorrow morning traveling the hinterlands of the county. And not the least of which, we had a great attendance. We had a great conversation out at Bill Calder's yesterday. I think I learned something from the neighbor I thought I knew everything about.
That's good.
Cool.
Outstanding. Loris.
I've been working a little bit on housing last week, met with Vanessa Baker Latimer, and we talked about where we need to go forward. It looks like we need to update a housing, a countywide housing study that hasn't been done until the 90s or early 2000s. I drove around with Brenda Dreyer already. I took her to the southwest part of the county, and she's got lots of questions and lots of ideas, so you will enjoy that. The team leaders for the website refresh/redesign, whatever we're going to end up calling it, met Monday morning. We've got laid out some scheduling as far as we'll be putting out a survey, and the committee is formed. There are 12 people on the committee, not counting Alyssa Wignall, Barb Steinbeck, Leanne Harder, and myself, and we're actually looking for two more to represent specific areas. So we're moving forward, and we anticipate there that we will have a lot of information by the time the whole group pulls together on May 12th.
Okay, and Loris, let me just say to you, for that entire group to keep in mind that there is and will be lots of trepidation from our staff anytime we start talking about a major change that impacts their day-to-day life. Some people tend to go toward worst possible scenario. Just be aware of that, and let's try to stay out in front of it as much as we can as we work toward a great solution for Story Gap.
Right, and which is why this survey that we'll be putting out to every member of the county staff is asking, what do you like? What don't you like? How are you using it? We actually are starting with them before this committee ever meets.
Good.
We're going to give people an opportunity to give us a piece of their mind.
We'll see how that goes.
Yeah, thank you. So let's see. And then I think I'll keep it pretty much there. That's pretty much what I worked on last week was a week for me where I didn't have any committee meetings or liaison assignments.
You started the day telling, I don't mean to drag this on further, but you started the day in a drainage district meeting telling us about what you did yesterday.
Oh, yes. I attended the Iowa Public Department of Health seminar on water quality from a public health perspective. And I did pick up a couple of ideas related to private wells and related to monitoring. One of the things that I learned from a public health perspective is they look at it differently than we might when we're discussing just CAFOs or just discussing the natural minerals leaching out of the soil. And they talk about risks and real risks. One of the things I also learned is that our HUC, our plans to go forward to evaluate all of the HUC 12 watersheds in the county that Rick and Conservation are doing, that is something that's very needed, not being done by a lot of counties at all right now. We may be one of the first, if not the first.
We'll be the first.
Be the first, okay. Yeah. And that in the future for public health, that's going to serve as a base as they can get more counties to do local monitoring and continuing with their local monitoring, that's going to serve a base on some of the scientific decisions that will be made down the road.
If you want to figure out where you're going, you better start by knowing where you are.
Yes. And then some of them were scientists and wanted to always study where they're going forever and ever. But that was...
I would think you'd be remiss in not telling us that story.
Yeah, they did. Okay.
So for me, airport, three of us attended the ribbon cutting for the airport. What a great event. Several thousand people attended. Very, very cool for the community. Really proud to be part of it. Really appreciate both of you guys coming and being part of that ribbon cutting. Thank you. Conservation last night, great. We're so lucky with the conservation board that we have. And as is my tradition, I'll let Mike report out on that next time he's in front of us. So if there's nothing else, we have Ethan Anderson talking to us about the possibility of going into closed session.
How about we take a...
We will. Let's finish this part, and then assuming, depending on our action, we're either going to be done or we're going to take a break to get to closed session.
Okay.
And Austin, if there's anything that comes out of this, any action coming out of this, we'll give you a call and let you know that something happened.
Okay.
Yeah, I know it's lunchtime, but you'd like to request to go to closed session pursuant to Iowa Code 21.51C to discuss eminent litigation where the county's... may be disadvantaged or prejudiced in a litigation.
Okay. Takes a motion and a second and action for us to get there. If either
I move that we go into closed session pursuant to our code section in 20, put the glasses back on, 21.51C.
I'll second with a cautionary update to Ethan. As a journalist, okay, this is one of my least favorite reasons to go into closed session. Just then, I trust you that it's going to be imminent and that it would be a disadvantage to discuss it in public.
Absolutely, and just so we're clear on process, so if this passes and we do in fact go into closed session, we haven't gone into closed session yet.
So we're going to propose to it. You've got a motion here in front of you.
Absolutely, but until we pass,
we'll stay open.
We're not in closed session.
Yep. Yep.
So we'll close doors and stuff if we get there. So we're still in open session right now. So if we go into closed session, we'll go into closed session, we'll talk about whatever we talk about, then we will come back into open session, and at that point, the board may choose to report out anything they want to report out. So, Lawrence, if you have concerns after the fact that it was not the wisest closed session. We can sure talk about it in an open session.
Okay?
Aye. So now we're voting on whether we're going into closed session or not. Chitty.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. We're going to take a 2-minute recess. Get everything set.
Lucy set up for us down the hall in the conference room.
We're going down the hall. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So 2
okay.
minutes, and then we're meeting in the conference room.
I may need 3.
Okay, it is 12:33, and I'll have us reconvene from our closed session. There was no action that took place in closed session. Ethan, anything that you would add from closed session?
No.
Okay. If there's no further action or announcements, I take a motion to adjourn. Motion to adjourn. Second to adjourn. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye, we're adjourned.
Okay.
Hey, you made it through your first closed session.
Yeah, I did.
Outstanding.
Thank you. You're right. Yes, I did. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Yes, I think it's good job today, everybody.
It's a rare.
Well, Marty, I got your pen.